to give you thanks for your warm welcome this evening. It's my intention this evening to look at a very well-known passage in the Bible, a very well-known story. And it's probably one we've all known from Sunday school days or from children's clubs or even from this hall on a Sunday night. And it's the story of Naaman. And I want to look at this story and look at the gospel message from it. And what I want to do as we go through the story is look at this man who's going on a journey. And a journey from what seemed like hopelessness and despair to a final destination of being claimed. And as we're going through it tonight, I want to look at that as ourselves and see whereabouts we are on that journey, whether we are at the beginning in a place that seems like hopelessness and despair. And as we go through the story, maybe see whereabouts we are on this journey. And hopefully, by the end of it tonight, we'll all be in a position where we know where we stand. And if we're not right with God, and if we're not ready for His eternal presence, then hopefully tonight we'll be in that position. So let's turn to the Bible and we'll look at 2 Kings and chapter 5, please. 2 Kings and chapter 5, and we'll commence at verse number 1. The first number 1 of 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when his letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive? This man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy. Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go, and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Arbana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them, and be clean? So he turned, and went away in a rage. And his servants came near, and spake unto him, and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou have not done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. And we know that God will add a blessing to the public reading of his word. So there we have it. We have this great man Naaman. The Bible tells us that he was a mighty man, a man of valor. He was a brave man. He was a captain of the king of Syria. So he was, in fact, a very important man. And then as we get to the end of verse 1, we read the word but. But he was a leper. Now, leprosy is a chronic skin and a nervous disease that starts off in one small area, perhaps, and will spread and will eventually take over if untreated and will ultimately kill the person. Now, in these days, it can be treated, but back in the Old Testament times, this disease could not be cured. And it was a very contagious disease. As a result of this, anybody who found out you had leprosy, you were put out to the side of the village and you were left outside to die. This man, being a great man, a mighty man of valor, a brave man, yet leprosy was no respecter of this. And despite his greatness and his wealth and his power, he had no control or power over his leprosy. And ultimately, he would probably die outside, a lonely. and a painful death. You know that each one of us, we have something that's not leprosy, but it's similar, and it's that each one of us is affected by sin. And the Bible tells me that each one of us has sinned. We're told that there is no difference. All have sinned. Also tells me that by one man, sin has entered into the world, and death by sin, and that death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So each one of us has sinned. As a result of Adam back in the garden of Eden disobeying God, that sin came into the world. And Adam was told that if he disobeyed God at that point, that death would come in. And he disobeyed God. And sin came in. As a result of sin, death. And each one of us is affected by sin. And maybe you don't believe the Bible. Maybe you're not believing what I'm saying up here. And we just need to look at ourselves and ask a few questions perhaps. Ask yourself, have you ever told a lie? It may seem a little thing, but the Bible calls it a sin. Have you ever disobeyed our parents, whether it be younger or older now? We've looked back in our days gone by and have you ever disobeyed our parents? Again, it may seem like a small thing, but the Bible calls it sin. And I think if each one of us is honest, we have to accept what the Bible says and accept that we are indeed sinners. And this is like this man, leprosy. Leprosy was going to kill this man unless he could do something about it. It's the same with sin. If we do not do nothing about it, then it will take us to a lost eternity. So we have to accept tonight, at the beginning of this service, that we are indeed sinners. Now I reckon that when Naaman first found out that he had this leprosy, he may have found a little spot in his hand or something, or it may have been his face, wherever it was, but he probably just tried to cover it up. He may have tried to ignore it, he may have just tried to pass it off for something else. But the fact that he ignored it, or the fact that he tried to cover it up, didn't change the fact that he had leprosy. And that would ultimately him. And this is the same with sin. You know, people, we deny it, we cover it up, we say a little sin, it's just a little sin, we'll cover it up. Or we deny we're sinners, we just pretend that we're not sinners. Or it's so much easier just to put God out of our lives and just to pretend that sin does not exist. If Naaman had done that, he would have died. You know, the Bible tells us that we are sinners and that one day we'll come before God. And if we're not saved, then we'll come before God as our judge. And the Bible talks about a great white throne. And it tells me that whosoever is not saved, whosoever just ignores their sin and goes into, passes from life to death and goes before God, never having dealt with their sin, they come before God at this great white throne and the books are opened and we are judged according to our works. And then it tells me that whosoever was not found in the, written in the book of life was cast into what the Bible calls as an everlasting lake of fire. The fact that we ignore sin, the fact that we try to cover it up, does not change the fact that we are sinners. It does not change the fact that we will have to come before God and have our sin dealt with. So we have to make sure that we are clear that we are sinners and that we will have to come before God. And if we're not saved, it will be in judgment. But the gospel is a message of hope and that we can come before God as our Saviour. And then we'll spend all of eternity in heaven and in His presence. Now the fact that Naaman was indeed a great man had no bearing on the fact that he was a leper. And you know, we can look through life, we can look at the world and we can see maybe what we perceive as the most powerful man in the world. And yet we'd have to confess he's a sinner. You could even look at the most richest man in the world, and people like Bill Gates, still a sinner. We can go down the other spectrum, we look at the poor man in the street, whoever it be, still a sinner. And all these people have that one thing in common. They are sinners, and they will indeed come before God. Sin does not respect people. Leprosy did not respect great men or not so great men. So tonight then, I think we need to look at the start of this story and the start of our journey for Naaman. He is a leper and is a place of hopelessness and despair. And each one of us, we're not sinners. And tonight we're at the start of that journey with Naaman. And we are in a position that seems hopeless and seems despair. Each one of us are saved. We've been there. We were at that start of that journey. And we were in that position. But we can praise God tonight that we have been redeemed. We are saved. And hopefully by tonight, the end of tonight, as you look through this journey, look through this story, we'll all know where we stand. So as we go through the story then, we're introduced to this man as a leper. But as we go on, we're then introduced to a little maid. Now, Naaman had gone into with Syria into Israel and had a great battle and had taken away this little maid. And he's taken her to his own house and she's looking after his wife. Now we're not given the name of this maid. It obviously was not important. It's not important for us. God has deemed it right not to put her name in there. But we know that she was placed there by God to do his work. And that work was to show the man, Naaman, the way of salvation. And I think there's a little thing there for each one of us who are saved. This little maid was in a foreign land, and she had the authority and she had the position just to tell this great man the way of salvation. And that's a challenge to each one of us. We are here for such a time as this. We have been placed where we are by God. And do we just tell the simple message and just tell others what we know about God and his power to save? So she pointed this man to this prophet, Elisha. She knew that the God was with this man, and she knew that God could heal Naaman. And so she points him to this man. And that's what I do tonight. I point you to the man, the Lord Jesus. There's no other way to come to God. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you may ask me this night, well, who is Jesus? We looked in the New Testament and Jesus asked that same very question. He asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? But the answer came back that some say you're a prophet, some say John the Baptist. All these great men that were perceived in time. He says, who say ye that I am? He asked his disciples again, who do you say that I am? And the answer came back, thou art the Christ. They acknowledged that he was the Christ. He was the Son of God. You know, he would tell in the New Testament again that those that have seen me have seen the Father also. So not only was he the Son of God, but he was God. And it's only through him that we can indeed come to God the Father. Now he came in human form. He left God's side and he came in a form of a human with the ready purpose of dying. He tells me that he was made lower than the angels for the ready purpose of death. He needed to come to this world so that he could come to that cross and bear upon him the punishment for sin that each one of us rightly deserved. And he came and he fulfilled the Father's will and went to that place called Calvary. Now, many people miss the man, the Lord Jesus. I can tell you tonight, it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet you may go your own way. Naaman went his own way. He was told, you need to go to the man Elisha. You need to go to the prophet in Israel. And yet he goes to the king of Israel. You know, many people try their own ways. And try religion. They may go to the priest. They may go to the prophet Muhammad or the Buddha. They try all these other things. And yet, they're not going to get saved. There's only one way, as we just looked at that, there's only one way to get saved, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. Now this Naaman, he went to the king of Israel, and this may seem logical. It may seem, you know, we'll go to the top man in that country, and he'll be able to sort me out. You know, he come to the king, and the king read the letter, and he said, am I God? I'm able to cleanse this man. He knew that he could not do nothing for this man. He knew that it was only God that could do this. And that is the same for sins. It is only God who can forgive sins. And you know, we can turn again to our New Testament and we know the story well, hopefully, about the man who was paralyzed and his four friends took him to see the Lord Jesus Christ. So they knew that the Lord Jesus Christ could heal him. And when they got to the house, it was full of people and they could not get in. So they took him up to the roof. And they broke down the roof and they lowered him in. And the Lord Jesus Christ, because of their faith, he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the people of that day, the religious people, said, who can forgive sins but God? The king of Israel knew that he could not cleanse this man of his leprosy. He knew it would only be God. And the people of that day rightly said, who can save sins but God? They were right, it is only God. But what they missed the point was that it was the Lord Jesus Christ was God. And that he had power to forgive our sins. And he said, just to prove that I am God, he said to that man, rise up and take your bed. And the man rose up. Is it easier for me to say, thy sins be forgiven thee? There's no physical evidence of that. Or is it easier for me to say, thy sins, rise, take up thy bed and rise? He did both. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, had power over to forgive sins, and he had power over the physical being of that man. And tonight we need to acknowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So pointing in our own way, we need to acknowledge that it's only through him. Naaman missed that point initially, and he went his own way. Now, if he'd gone to the king, and the king had said, I cannot do this, who am I but God? Am I God to be able to do this? If he'd walked away, he would have been still lost. He still would have been in his leprosy, and he will still have died. But as you read through the story, we are introduced then to another servant of God. And this time, it is the prophet Elisha. Now, the prophet hears that this man's come before the king, and the king has rent his clothes. He's distraught at the fact that he's been given this perceived power of able to forgive this, to heal this man of his leprosy. And the prophet says, "Send him to me. I'm the prophet. Send him to me." So Naaman, this time, goes to the right man. And he comes down, he comes to Elisha, he comes to the house of all his companies and all his gifts, and he knocks at the door, and Elisha sends out his servant. The servant comes out, and he gives him the way to get cleaned. He told him, the prophet had said to the servant, "Go down to the River Jordan, and dip yourself 7 times, and you'll be cleansed." Seems quite a simple thing to do. But Naaman was not happy about this. He thought it was a bit of a cheek that the prophet would not come out himself, but he would send this man out himself. See, Naaman was probably a proud man. He probably expected expected the prophet to come out and to do some spectacular thing, and that God would cleanse him of his leprosy there and then through the power of his prophet. And even a simple command, he would then say, "Can I even go to the rivers of Havana and Farfa? Are these not better than the waters of Israel?" He was missing the point yet again. It wasn't the fact he was going to dip himself in the River Jordan 7 times that was going to cleanse him. It was not the water. There was nothing in the water. It was a simple fact of obeying God that was going to cleanse this man. And yet it was missing this point. And again, this is just like men and women today. God has told us in his word to obey his word. And it is to repent of your sins. That is what we need to do. Repent of our sins and put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and we'll be saved. There's nothing that needs to be done. It is a simple command of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet people will rather do their own things and try their own ways, just like this man, Naaman. You know, we need to come before God and confess we're sinners and repent of it. We need to turn our back upon sin, acknowledge that it is a disgusting thing before God and it will not get us into his presence because of sin. Turn our back on it and go and put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died on the cross for our sins and accept it and take it as a personal message that he died for me. Men and women don't like obeying God. They don't like obeying anybody, yet let alone God. Naaman did not like this. And again, if he ignored the message, his leprosy was not going to go. And if he ignored the message of the way of salvation, our sin will not be dealt with and we will indeed go into a lost of eternity. The Bible tells me there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but it tells me the end of the ways are death. Now, people go to church, people give to charity, people do these great things that they perceive. They do these things in order to get to heaven. We'll not get you to heaven. If salvation could be bought, people would save up all the money they had and they would buy it. If doing a great act, climbing up the tallest mountain or swimming a great river, if these things would get salvation, people would do all that they can to do it, to get salvation. And yet the gospel is simple. And it is simply obey and be saved. And yet people would rather try their own ways and reject God. You know, hell is probably full of people tonight that are in hell because they've depended on what they can do themselves. They go through life doing their great good deeds, living a good life, ignoring the fact that they're sinners, ignoring the fact that they will have to get themselves right before God in time, and thinking they'll come before God and God will say, "You've lived a good life," and we'll welcome them in. The Bible does not tell me that. The Bible tells me we have to believe. We have to repent of our sins and put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Naaman here was missing the point. He was pointing to the right man. He went his own way. He'd been given the message now, and he was rejecting it. You see, he was also a bit annoyed that he did not come out and do this great act. He did not come and strike the man on his leprosy, and miraculously got healed that way. And, you know, you hear people say today that if the Lord Jesus Christ was alive in this time, if he was here today doing these miracles, I would believe, and he's here and I'll confess before him. I tell you that he wouldn't. The Lord Jesus Christ has been to this earth. He came and he demonstrated that he was the Son of God. He did the great miracles. He did these great acts. We read through the Gospels and you will see that he fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and fishes. You'll read stories how he made blind people to see. Now these things have never been seen before. You'll read how he made lepers walk. How he made the deaf to hear. You'll even read stories of how he cleansed lepers. Many, many great acts were done by the Lord Jesus Christ, written down in the Gospels, to demonstrate that he was the Son of God. And yet people did not believe and they rejected him. In fact, it tells us they crucified him. The people of that day that had the Lord Jesus Christ in their presence, they heard his word, they saw his great acts, and they crucified him. They put him to a cross and they nailed him to a cross and hung him up and left him to die. Because he showed them up, these religious people, for the very fact they were sinners. The fact that they denied it, but the Lord Jesus Christ came and showed them up. The people say that if they saw him, if he did these great acts, they would believe. They would not. We have to come in simple faith and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So back then to the story, back to this journey. Where are we tonight? We're going through this journey. We started at the place of hopelessness and despair. We've now been pointed to the right man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard the message that it's only through obeying the word of God and repenting of our sins and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Naaman had come from Israel with the little maid. The little maid appointed to Elisha. He had gone to the king, but now he's gone to Elisha eventually and heard the message. And he was rejecting the message. And I wonder tonight where each one of us stands. Whether we know and we accept that we are sinners. And whether we know and accept that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only man and the only one that can save us from our sins. Whether we accept that the message of the gospel is true. And yet we're still not saved. The question is, why are you not saved? Then you know these things you accept before that. Does something hold you back? Is it friends? Is it family? Is it social activities that you think you may have to give up as a result of salvation? Are these things worth your soul? The Bible tells him, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? The answer is nothing. There is nothing worth your soul. Your soul is an eternal being and will spend an eternity in one of two places. The Bible talks about it as heaven and hell. Are any of these things that may hold us back from being saved worth our soul? You see, these things, they make sense when you become a Christian. The Bible tells me that to those that perish, what we say is foolishness. But to those who are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. And you know, to Naaman, it may seem foolishness to go into that river Jordan. It's a dirty river. And just to dip myself 7 times, how is this going to cleanse me? How is dirty water going to get rid of my leprosy? Leprosy cannot be dealt with. It cannot be cured. How is this going to cleanse me? You have to take faith and obey the word of God. You know, thankfully for Naaman, he had some sensible people around him. He had his servants, and they come and draw nigh unto him and says, why are you not doing this simple thing? If the prophet had come and told you to do this great thing, you would have done it. Why not just go and dip yourself 7 times? Do as the prophet has told you to do. Obey the word of God and be cleansed. So the story thankfully leads us to Naaman. Going down to the River Jordan. He dipped himself 7 times as the word of God had commanded, and he came up cleansed. And better than this, it tells me that his flesh came up as a little child. It was better than what it was before. And this is the same for each one of us if we get saved. The Bible tells us that we become a new creation. All these things have gone away now. The Bible also tells me that if we're saved, we're saved for all of eternity. The Bible tells us once we're saved, we're in God's hand, and that none shall pluck us from it. We are secure, and we are safe for all of eternity. We inherit eternal life. These are things that we get presently, and things we can hold on to, the promises of God, once we are saved. Naaman went down, he obeyed the word of God, and was saved. Where do we stand tonight? This man, Naaman, he took the servant, the little maid, to guide him. That the message of the prophet to show him the message, to give him the message, the word of God. And it took his servants and his friends to close by to draw him and to reason with him and to make him take that final step. And tonight, that's all I do. I point you to the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm hopefully making the message of salvation clear and making it clear that it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have salvation. There is no other way. Ignoring our sin does not make it go away. Pretending we're not sinners, trying to cover our sin up, does not change the really fact that one day we will come before God. And we come before God either as our judge or as our Saviour. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know, tonight there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. If we do nothing, then we'll face an eternity away from God. An eternity in the lake of fire. The place, which the Bible tells us, is a place of torment, as a place of utter darkness. A place of isolation. A place of unimaginable anguish. And it is forever. Eternity does not end. It goes on forever and ever. But if we get saved, if we are saved, and we have the prospect of going to heaven for all of eternity, and this place the Bible describes as having no pain, no death, no sorrow, the verse says that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. This is my future. No wonder, is it yours? It's a glorious thing to have that prospect to look forward to. Now remember, we just described the place of the lost as being a place of darkness. Compare that to heaven. Heaven that tells there is no moon, for there is no night. It tells there is no sun, for the glory of God does light that place. And the Lamb that is the Lord Jesus Christ is the glory thereof. We have such a contrast between heaven and hell. A place of pain and torment compared to a place of no pain, no crying, no sorrow. A place of loneliness compared to a place where the Lord Jesus Christ is, with his saints, with the angels. The Bible says 10,000 times thousands and thousands and thousands. A place of utter darkness, a place where there is no need for the sun, because the glory of God is there. And you know, for eternity, for me, is a blessed thing. Because what could be better than spending forever and eternity in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for our sins? But if we're not saved, then eternity should be a thing that should be feared and dreaded. It is a place that no one should ever want to go. It is a place the Bible has described as being prepared for the devil and his angels. And yet there are countless numbers of people heading down to lost eternity because they ignore the fact they're sinners. They ignore sin. They ignore all these things because they do not want to acknowledge before God they are sinners. They deny the fact they're sinners, and they can deny the fact there is a God. And they can do their own thing and live their own lives the way they want to. If Naaman had done that, he would have died a leper. If we do that, we'll spend a lost eternity. You know, there is no price to pay. There's no great act to be done. Naaman would have done these things. He would have paid the price. He had the gifts. He would have done the great act. There's no need for these. For the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price. He has done the great act. He went to that place called Calvary. And there he bore a punishment for sin, so that each one of us could avoid it. There's no point ignoring sin. Do not ignore it. You need to come to God tonight. The Bible tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is a promise. There's no maybe saved, if saved. It's call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. And that's a simple message of the gospel tonight. And I just trust we will take this, take heed to it. And if we're not yet saved, then we'll not leave this place even this very night, not getting ourselves right with God. Let us pray. God and our Father, we come before thee just to give thee thanks for thy Son. We thank you for the very fact that thou didst come into this world to go to that place called Calvary. There thou would die to take away sin. And we thank you for thy words and the way of salvation that is made clear in it. And we just pray that this night, as the word has gone forth, it may have gone forth in simplicity and in clarity. And that if it's any, you are not yet saved. That they will not put their head on their pillow even this very night until they have got themselves right with thee. And we just ask all these things in thy Son's name. Amen. I wonder if we could perhaps sing a verse or two of a hymn in closing. The hymn is 123, please. 1, 2, 3. The word says, come to the Saviour, make no delay. Hear in his word, he has shown us the way. Hear and admit, he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. Verse 3 says, think once again, he's with us today. Heed now his blessed command and obey. Hear now his accents tenderly say, will you, my children, come? Perhaps just remain seated and we'll sing 123, please.